tonight, I invite you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I've entitled this message, just a little play on words, Preparing for Christmas. Some of you don't want to. Some of you want to put your brakes on. And this last weekend probably kind of got you started thinking about some of those things. It seems like the younger you are, the more you're drawn to those things as we get a little bit more seasoned. There's some seasoned saints here tonight. Amen. Then the things of the world lose a little bit of their allurement, and that's a good thing because this season that we're entering into can truly be a season of busyness and chaotic activity, and it seems like we live in a crazy busy world already. I think that's one of the things that really pulls for us. Time is the most precious commodity that all of us have been given, and God tells us to, you know, use our time wisely. And we oftentimes let ourselves get pulled in so many different directions. And so I know that there will be many things demanding your attention as we enter into the month of December. And this is the last partial week of November here before us. And so my heart goes back to this passage. I preached this passage during an Advent season many, many years ago when I was pastoring in Memphis. And it's always kind of resonated in my heart. I may have used it in different settings here from time to time, but it seems like my heart, I grow back to this. And when I talk about that Advent season, it's just the celebration of all the things leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's many good devotions in God's Word. There are Advent devotionals you can get. I'd recommend you try to do that. This Sunday night crowd, you usually are the ones who are desiring the things of God in a little bit deeper way, and I commend you for that, and I want to encourage you if you need some help. But I think some of the best Advent material you could ever read is right here in the Word of God. It's called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you just read the Gospels, and you let Jesus prepare your heart. And so The title, Preparing for Christmas, really it was taken, just a little play on words, from the end of one of our verses in our text this morning in verse 17, as we'll see this. John the Baptist, this is a story about John the Baptist and about the annunciation or the announcement of his birth to his father, Zechariah, and his mother, Elizabeth. And so we're going to kind of go through this, and we're going to see kind of the setting of their day and hopefully make an application today, because I've always been intrigued by John the Baptist, because what his primary role was this. It was simply to point others to Jesus. I shared a little thought of that with my life group class this morning as we were looking at another passage in the Gospels. Just pointing others to Jesus. Preparing the way of the Lord. And so preparing the way of the Lord is almost a synopsis with preparing for Christmas, when you really understand what Christmas is really all about. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no Christmas. Christmas is truly engulfed in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration of his birth. It's a celebration of his life. It's a celebration of his sacrifice. It's a celebration of everything that he has done and is continuing to do. And so this is how the Gospels start out. I realize John's Gospel chronologically goes back into past eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we understand that. But as far as the announcement, Luke's Gospel gives probably the most detailed narrative of the surrounding things. And it's the one who gives the account of this that's before us tonight. And so I hope that, I guess in this message tonight, I realize when we get here on Sunday evening and after a holiday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, everybody's a little bit tired and everything, and so you're kind of laid back and relaxed, thinking about maybe what's going to happen in the week that's ahead. But I hope you will use this season, honestly, as a time to draw near and just really commit that to Christ. Just, I want to draw near to you, God. I want to savor you. I want to see you. I want to celebrate you. Brother Don's message this morning kind of alluded to that in a different sort of way. God, show me your glory. I want to sense you like I've never sensed you before. And sometimes we go through the motions and we play church. And they were doing that during this era too. They were just going through the tradition, or they were just going through the habitual daily, day in and day out. And all of a sudden, things begin to change, as we're going to see in our text and as we're going to understand this. And so ask God to draw you near Him, not only to guard our hearts, which is a key element of that, because there are so many distractions all around us today. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes our worst distraction is ourselves. But there's a time for us to set ourselves aside and really get serious about savoring and seeing the things of God. And this resonates from my heart. I believe it. I try to live it. I try to practice it. But I still find myself challenged and pulled in so many different directions. But there has to be a time when we come aside and we guard our hearts. And we really ask God not only to just guard our hearts, but to guide our hearts. Guide our hearts to you, God. And so we're going to see a setting here before us. I'm going to read the text, and then we'll make a few comments. And this is kind of a simple little message tonight. I am planning on the next few Sunday nights as I'll be preaching. I know we have Charles Billingley. I don't think he's going to let me preach that night, Daryl. But anyway, we'll be here for that. And that'll be a wonderful time of Christmas celebration. We're looking forward to that. But I will be preaching on both sides of that as we enter into the Christmas season. I'm probably going to do just a little mini-series starting tonight, kind of on Advent messages that kind of just celebrate the season that we're living in. So follow with me as we read in verse 5 of Luke 1. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and his wife from and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while they were serving as priests, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time tonight, just a few moments here this evening to study your word, and I pray that you will just, Father, speak through us and anoint us with your spirit the way you're so gracious and kind to do. Lord, we need you even as we hear the message tonight, as we meditate upon the verses. Lord, even while we're here in this setting, I realize there are many things that have a tendency to occupy our thinking. Lord, help us to be disciplined tonight and think about you. May your spirit remind us of just how precious you are to our lives and how you've got a plan and you've got a purpose. And even as we'll see in the lives tonight of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Lord, may it remind us that as your servants, as your children, you're always looking over your word to accomplish it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this and we turn our hearts toward the study of God's word tonight, I want us just to notice a few simple overview sites on this. First of all, I've just entitled this first little thought here tonight, preparing for Christmas, as we said. I want us to notice the situation that they shared. And it was kind of just a common situation. It says in verse 5 that the days of Herod, king of Judah, And there was a priest named Zechariah, and it says, and he had a wife, and she was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And then verse 6 gives us the great nugget description of this sweet couple. It says, they were both righteous before God. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. What we see here, first off, is that they were just the situation that they shared in together, and the situation that hopefully we participate in day out, Monday through Sunday, as we go into our work week, is that we will just faithfully be doing what God has called us to do. Be faithful in the small stuff. And don't sweat the small stuff, and understand that these are things that God has ordained for us. Now, here we have this great description of Zechariah and Elizabeth and how they were here serving as a priest, as one of many priests Zechariah was. And so this was the time of the sacrifice, and they had all gathered, and his division had gathered there. And we're told as the text goes on before the Lord that, you know, that Zacharias was chosen to play a special role in this sacrifice. And, you know, when you're faithful in the small stuff, then you position yourself to be used in greater things. And that's a great spiritual principle that needs to resonate in our hearts. So oftentimes, young ministers especially, and young people who are new Christians, they want to, you know, immediately be saved and start serving in great leadership positions. Well, it don't work that way. David was a shepherd boy before he was a king. And we have to understand that there's a process of spiritual maturity and faithfulness that works in and is ingrained into our lives. And when we're faithful in the small things, God even says, Jesus says, even in eternity, I will make you ruler over many things. And so God has this worked into the DNA. But when you look at this, the situation that they shared together, I want us to notice the background of this, because verse 5 mentions something that's very intriguing. In the days of Herod, king of Judah. Just to shake your memory a little bit, this is the same Herod that Matthew 2 says was so jealous that a new king child had been born that he killed all the babies. Tradition tells us it was safer to be Herod's dog than it was to be one of his family members. He was so jealous and so envious. And so there was this climate that was over the land during the time, and this was the time when we see Zacharias and Elizabeth in that context still just faithfully serving. We see Christianity today just kind of being tossed around and ignored and made fun of. And we see the political climate of our day and the unrest and the social climate of our day kind of like it was in the day, and even the religious climate of our day. Because there was great distortion even in the religion of this era. What era was this? It was the era that Jesus would be born. And we see a lot of glimpses. We just got through preaching a little series back a few months ago on the Sermon on the Mount, and we went through it, and Jesus was constantly challenged by the religious hypocrisy of his day. People who walked around in show of how great of a Christian I am, but inwardly they were just empty, and their hearts just weren't truly yielded to God. And so the challenge is for you and me here to, even in the midst of political and social and even religious corruption that exists all around us, continue to serve faithfully to God. And let, even as this description, let your life be righteous before God, even as God has described them, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. What this couple, this dear couple, had done is they had put themselves in a place to be used in a great way by God. We never know when God's going to call your name and call your number and say, now this is your day and this is your opportunity. But you have to be prepared for that. And that's what Zacharias was fixing to encounter. And not only was there social unrest and political unrest in that dark day in the days of Herod, when we see this couple just faithfully serving God day in and day out, I mean, just sticking to their stuff. It's the little things that matter. The little things matter a lot. And we see so many little things that are going on even here at our church that so many people, now the Sunday night crowd, I'm preaching to the choir to use that expression, although most of you aren't in the choir, but anyway, I'm preaching to you anyway. But the Sunday night crowd is the more faithful crowd in serving, and I thank God for that, and I always enjoy preaching to you and getting to encourage you in this way. But don't give up on your Christian service. There's no quitting place. Because one of the things that we're going to see here tonight is that Zachariah and Elizabeth, they were both senior adults, to use that term respectfully, as we're going to see this. And not only was there a darkness about the climate of the day politically and socially, but there was a darkness in their lives personally. You say, well, Brother Mike, you don't know what we've been through. You don't know the hurt that we've incurred. Well, let's read about their hurt in verse 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. That was their situation. But here they are, still serving God faithfully. When things hadn't quite turned out the way that they thought it could have or might have or should have. I was reading with my small group that I meet with on Friday mornings. We were going through a passage that Brother Don mentioned this morning, when there were times in Jesus' life where he would just pull back the curtain and let us see a glimpse of his glory. And one of those times is that transfiguration passage, probably the greatest of all the times. Other people saw glimpses of God's glory throughout his life, and they were drawn to Jesus. But see, during the darkest of times, the things of God should radiate even brighter. And so this was dark for them personally, and that things had just not played out the way they wanted it to. Every time I read that passage about the transfiguration, you know, there were two of the saints of Old Testament era that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. One of them was Moses, and the other one was Elijah. You know, the unique thing about Moses and Elijah, their lives in the end didn't quite play out the way they thought it would. I don't know if you've ever thought about that common denominator between those two. Moses wanted to cross over into the promised land. And God told him on one occasion, that final conversation, he said, Moses, don't even talk to me about it anymore. You're not going in. And he didn't. Elijah wanted a revival to occur in the nation of Israel, especially after killing the prophets up on Mount Carmel. And then he got out and had him a pity party, and God had to waken him up again. But then even Elijah never would see that revival he always prayed about. It wouldn't be for his generation. And God ended up replacing the worn-out servant with another servant named Elisha, who come and took his place. So they never really saw all their spiritual dreams come true. And then I read the transfiguration. And guess who God invited back to be a part of the great celebration of the incarnation of the Son of God? It was Jesus Christ. And here they too were, faithful servants. They served him even in a time of disappointment, even in a time when things didn't go the way that they always thought it would or hoped it would. They were just consistent. And here they saw the fulfillment of everything they had ever dreamed of, because they saw the promised one, and they got to have a meeting with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Unlike no meeting that we've ever heard of or seen of, and we'll only understand the depths of that encounter in eternity. That meeting was the meeting where the Father spoke audibly once again and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, Jesus was consistent. Zacharias and Elizabeth were consistent. Moses and Elijah were. But you know, we see this and we sense this, but even in a time of disappointment, they continued to be faithful in everything God had told them to do. And it says, it picks up on this, that the situation that they were involved in, which was just a common situation of life for them, although they had been faithful during a dark time, and while they were serving as priests before God, Zacharias' division was on duty. According to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. That's an interesting verse, because he was chosen by lot, and it wasn't coincidence, it was providence. Because not only God was he fixing to shake all heaven and earth by sending his son, he was sending the one who would go before his son. And his name was going to be John. And in that sense, I'm always intrigued by the fact that you and I share a similar ministry, sort of like John. We're the ones who simply point other people to Jesus. God has called us to do that. It doesn't have to be complicated as we see this and understand this. You know, sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked on this. So we see this wonderful situation that they shared, and it was his lot, and he entered the temple, and we understand all the things going on. And then it says, and the multitude of people, which would have included Elizabeth, his wife, they were praying outside at the hour of incense. And so they were just faithfully doing what God had told them to do. Now, this was a high honor for Zechariah, and we won't go into all the background of what took place in the temple, but he would have went in to the holy place there, and the altar of incense would have been there, and the candle would have been there, and he would have offered that sacrifice, that incense, there before the Lord, before the veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. And he would be standing there, and this was a one-time event for any priest. This was the highlight of everything. And the people were praying, and he had been given this great honor. And I can just imagine, like any loving husband, he couldn't wait to share this experience with Elizabeth. But here he was in the inner portions of the temple. And the incense, the burning of incense, was a symbol of the prayers of the people that were outside. It was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And so I understand that they were praying persistently. Not only were they serving faithfully, they were praying consistently and persistently. They didn't give up on praying. Now, and you say, well, what's the big deal about praying? I have to remind you that I should have probably reminded you earlier that this was a time and an era when there had been 400 silent years since the book of Malachi had ended. And so not only do we see the situation that they were involved in, and sometimes it just seems like in our lives, probably not to the magnitude that it did in theirs, they were asking, God, where are you at? And God, why are you silent? Now, they still had the Old Testament scriptures, and they were still using those as the center of their worship. The Word of God is always central to our worship. And they were using that, and they were following the guidelines of the priesthood just the way they had been called to do, and they were faithful. And so there they were. They were praying, and they were doing the thing. And so not only did we see this common situation that they shared with other people, now we're going to notice, and we're going to transition to the heart of this message, to the revelation that they received. And so verse 11 picks up and gives us that revelation. And there appeared to him, to Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have great joy, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So there we see this wonderful revelation. Here Zacharias was just faithfully serving the Lord, and he was there in the temple. He was offering this prayer up, and all of a sudden, God's messenger shows up. And it was an angel. Now, I know that we talk a lot about angels and we see a lot about angels in the Christmas scenes. And I pray that you'll understand that Angels are messengers of God, and they're sent by God. And this angel's going to reveal a little bit later in the passage what his name was and what he was sent to do, and he's going to set the record straight. But bigger than that was God was beginning to open up again, and God was starting the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist, even through his father, preparing the way for this child that was going to come when he was giving prophetic utterance here, the angel was, because he came from God's presence. And so what this really boils down to, God was speaking again. And there was no more silence. God was waking things up and shaking things up like he has never done that before. And so it just comes out of that consistent lifestyle. Some people say, I just want to hear from God. Well, are you making yourself available to God? God wants to speak to you. Where was he at? He was in the temple when he heard from God. What a great place to be. Come to church and hear from God. Some people say, I don't ever hear from God. Well, you're not listening to God. He was right there where God wanted him to be, in the temple, serving faithfully, burning, offering the incense. The people were outside praying, and God shows up, and he gives them a grand and a glorious revelation, and this revelation would have all kind of implications to it. Maybe the nation of Israel had not fully understood the role of the forerunner, but they understood the Messiah, and they understood that many of the prophets said, and every woman, her dream was to have a male child in hopes that her baby would be the chosen one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And so that's the reason this sting that was with Elizabeth was even so much so. Not only had she just not had baby in the natural sense, she had not even been considered in her own mind to play a fulfilling role in the coming of the anointed one. Little did she know, she would be the first one to entertain this baby as he would come and visit her before he was ever born. And the baby in her womb would actually leap in acknowledgement of the Christ child that was fixing to come. And so Elizabeth was going to play a major role in the fulfillment of this prophecy. In a time of darkness, in a time of desperation, the revelation came. Just when you think you can't go any further, God shows up and it changes everything. If you're just consistent and just keep on and persistent in your prayer life, don't quit praying. The Bible tells us over and over again, knock and it will be opened, seek and you shall find. God tells us to keep on praying, praying with persistence. What is it you're praying for this year at Christmas? What is it you're hoping for that's beyond yourself and beyond your selfish desire? What are you praying for on a spiritual nature? Keep praying for that loved one, that child, that friend, that individual who's away from God. They may not even be saved. Keep praying for those broken relationships to be healed. Keep giving it to God and don't give up because they didn't give up. And here we see a faithful remnant, even during what's been termed by biblical historians, the dark ages here, so to speak, or a time of silent years between the Old and the New Testament. Here we see those faithful group, band of believers, still faithfully going up to the temple and offering up prayers. And God was hearing. And I love the fact of what God responds to Zacharias here. It's so informative. But in verse 13, he says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zachariah. And that's a word for all of us. Don't fear. And then he says this little line, which I love this line. Your prayers have been heard. What a great confirmation that is to Zachariah, Elizabeth, and to you and me. We serve a God who hears our prayers. If that don't motivate us to be people of prayer, I don't know what will. Sometimes you're in a conversation with someone and you feel like they've checked out and they're not listening and your conversation just dies because you're kind of a little bit upset with them. We husbands, we pull that off real good, don't we? And we're not perfect. One of the best part in a relationship and in a conversation is to be what they're calling today, and this is good in all of our lives and relationship building, to be an active listener, an attentive listener, and listen, and really let it sink down deep. Well, we serve a God who is an active listener. He really does care, and he hears our prayers. Now, we're not told for certain what Zacharias was actually praying. Zacharias may have, I'm sure through his and Elizabeth's life, they had prayed for the thing that God was about to give them. What was that? A child. They wanted a child. But I think as the representative of the priest on this occasion, Zacharias was praying for another child, the redemption of God's people. That was the role of the priest, to go in there and offer up the sacrifice and offer up the prayers that, God, you really will come and redeem your people, just the way the Old Testament has told us. God, we're waiting. We're waiting. And God lets Zechariah in on the secrets and says, Zechariah, it's about to happen. But I'm going to tell you today, God will let all of us in on the secrets, his secrets. The more we yield ourselves to him, the more we search his word, study his word, meditate upon his word, memorize his word, and let his word just penetrate our lives, God will reveal himself to you in fresh new ways each and every day. And so we have a God who's not only a God of inspiration, he's a God of revelation. He speaks and he reveals himself to mankind. Yes, he does it in soft and subtle ways through creation, but he does it in strong and powerful ways through the revelation of his word. And there's no greater revelation outside Jesus Christ himself than this book I hold in my hand. And the reason some of us hadn't heard from God in a long time, we don't have a very good relationship with this book. So this year at Christmas, maybe we ought to start a new habit. You know what a spiritual habit is? It's called a spiritual discipline. We ought to start a new habit of this year at Christmas, as I enter into the Christmas season with December coming, this coming week, I ought to just spend time reading God's word through the Advent season. And just maybe if you start that habit for the first 30 days of December, however many days there is, 30 or 31, it'll carry over into the new year. And next year, 2018, you'll hear more from God than you've ever heard in any year of your life, because you're finally listening. And you're in a place to hear what God's word says. So I want to ask you tonight, are you really preparing for Christmas? Are you preparing for the purpose that God gave us this holiday that we celebrate, the arrival of his son? And yes, he has arrived. And yes, he died on the cross. And yes, he rose again. But the Bible says he's coming again. And are you prepared for his next arrival when he comes again, when all the days that we know of, it's going to be over? And Zacharias was there and he heard this revelation. And there was some hesitation on his part, as the scripture tells us, and we see this and we understand there's just a lot here as I finish up this message tonight, and we see. But there was also a clear proclamation that took place as a result of this revelation. And that's my final point, as we see here in this passage of scripture, because once he told him all of these things and he was blown away, and he said to him, he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient and the wisdom of the just, and he will make ready the Lord a people prepared. You know, I want people around me to know that I'm helping them be prepared for the Lord. Amen. That's my greatest role in life. If it's my children, if it's my wife, if it's my family, my friends, if it's the guy at Walmart I meet, I want him to know I'm helping him prepare his life to meet the Lord. Because whether he likes it or not, one day he's going to meet the Lord. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And for some people, that's going to be an awful day. For the other people that know Jesus and have trusted in him for salvation, that's going to be the greatest day they've ever had. We are going to get to see Jesus. Amen? And that's a day worth celebrating. And so we're celebrating not only the first coming of Jesus, but the Christ of Christmas. Guess what? He's coming again. I'm celebrating his return. He's going to come again. And I want to continue to fill the role of John the Baptist and help others be prepared for this child who grew up and died on a cross and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back again. This is the Jesus that we love. This is the Jesus that we serve. And so Zechariah, he was bent out of shape, and he asked the angel in verse 18, how shall I know this? He said, here he goes, ladies. He's throwing Elizabeth under the bus with him. I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. How can she have this child? And the angel answered him, and I love verse 19, because when God speaks, he doesn't stutter. And this angel came from the presence of God, and he tells us this is one of the two archangels that are mentioned in Scripture, Michael being the other one. And he says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And he said it with excitement. I can almost hear Gabriel saying it to Zechariah. And he was basically saying, who do you think you are questioning the message? I just came from God. And God gave me this word to give to you. Wake up, Zechariah. Wake up and understand that this is a powerful message. I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And that's what all revelation of God is about. Good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he loves us. And so Zechariah said, how shall I know this? In some ways, he may have been asking for a sign. Some people are kind of slow, you know, and we need a sign. And the angel said, I'll give you a sign. I'll give you a sign you'll have to think about for 9 months. You're not going to speak a word. There's your sign. How you like that? And not only that, just a few months later, he was going to be in the house with two pregnant women, and I can't speak a word. How you like that? Because Mary's going to come and hang out with you. So you think about that. But he got over it real quick, and although that this prophecy that the angel said, he said, behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and so here they are, anticipation. They want to know, what in the world is taking this priest so long in there burning incense? He's way extended himself at this point, and they're waiting on him. And then he came out, and it says in verse 22, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized, guess what? That he had seen a vision in the temple. There's the proclamation in the softest, simplest form. Because something different had happened. This priest went in. He could talk all kind of stuff. He came out. He can't say a word. Sometimes silence is golden. And it was for Zechariah. God changed his life through this. And we're going to see just a little bit later on, maybe I'll preach a message in one of my two upcoming Advent messages on Zacharias' benediction and the praise that he throws up there in response to this child when he was born. Because when the child was born, his tongue got loose, and boy, did it ever get loose. And did he have something to say? Because he had experienced God in a fresh, new way. God may take us through a period of our life where it just seems like things don't make sense. But if you're faithful to God, God will show himself faithful. And God will show you himself faithful even when we're not faithful to God. That's the kind of God we serve. And he'll continually seek to draw us back. But this word goes on to say that he came out and they realized he had seen a vision, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And it says, and when his time ended, and then the proclamation continues. It says, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away the reproach among my people. Boy, what a proclamation that was. What was it? It was the promised child that would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And there's so much more that entails into this story, but it just resonates in my heart as I think about God was up to doing his work, and God's always up. Yeah, Zechariah went through just a momentary lapse here. What Henry Blackaby in that great work calls a crisis of belief, but God got him through it. And the history tells and reveals everything that he got through. So I don't know what it is you're dealing with tonight, and I don't know where you came here. Maybe you just came here just thinking, I'm going to go to Sunday night church, and hopefully this will be quick, and I can leave and go on home and watch TV. Well, I hope in the midst of all that, God spoke to your heart in some way. And I hope he woke you up through this little simple passage of Scripture and reminded you he has called us for a purpose. And this Christmas season that we're entering into, although our world totally ignores it, the true meaning of it, we shouldn't. How dare us to ignore that Christmas is a celebration about Jesus. And we need to proclaim him. And we need to point others to see him. And we need to worship him ourselves. And unless we truly draw ourselves close to Jesus personally, we'll not share him publicly. And so that's the sequential order of how that works in your life and my life. I'm going to ask Brother Darrell to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation this evening. And if we can pray with you, if there's a decision on your heart, we're here to receive you and encourage you. And I just pray that you'll be consistent. You'll be faithful in your service. You'll be consistent in your prayers. And you'll look for God to speak to you in fresh new ways through his word, the way he's so good to do. Let's stand together.